Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze!
Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour.
Jawohl! Hier sind wir! Sorry, a little bit of a delay, a little technical back and forth, but we figured out, because we are all about quality here at the Schnitzel Boys, and we want quality product. So we're offering a product, quality product here on the day of the eclipse. Bjorn, you just came back from the eclipse.
Yep,
you were in full totality.
Can report from the full totality.
Here in LA, it was 40%, so we didn't get much of it, really. But Vermont, up close and personal. Tell us everything. Yeah. How was it?
It lasted. We went far enough north. It lasted 3 minutes, the whole thing. It wasn't quite as dramatic as it was.
Whoop.
Oh, sorry. Hello.
Sorry. I always forget to fix that. And that recording, there's like a 2 minute silence at the end. Man, Chuck Fresh, our announcer, just goes Deutschland Hour. Okay,
right.
So we know where we're here. We're at the Deutschland Hour. Seba S wants to get right into it. By the way, we get you, Seba S. It was an exciting week. We'll talk about it. I'm just letting Bjorn enjoy.
I don't want to. I'm going to talk about the eclipse for an hour and fill up all our time because I do not want to talk about what happened on Saturday.
Part of Fußball, part of Schnitzel Boys is embracing the moment, the here and the now, you know, like a good sports podcast. If you listen to one a year ago, there's really not much to it. You have to listen to the here and now, and here and now is about a lot of things. Big weekend for Mainz, big weekend from Köln, big weekend for Bjorn, off the field, that there was an eclipse, right? We're all talking eclipse. I put eclipse in the title because I'm a genius.
It's like, what happened?
That definitely happened. You know what happened. But anyway, we're at the eclipse. Sorry, we interrupted the eclipse story.
Yeah, I mean, there's not that much to say about it, honestly.
Well, so how about this? It lasted 3 minutes.
The moon is goes in front of the moon. This is what happens. The moon goes in front of the sun and blocks it, basically, despite a little ring. You need glasses to see this. Once the eclipse is total, you no longer see anything through the glasses, so you then have to look at it without the glasses. And it's quite impressive. It's a ring of sun around the moon. It's a silhouette, but it's far away. It's small. It doesn't get dark like nighttime dark. It just gets pretty dark.
Right.
And then you stand in traffic for 5 hours trying to get home because everybody's... because everybody's leaving at the same time.
I don't care about the 5 hours of traffic. I care about the 3 minutes it takes for the moon to block the sun. Do you know why, Bjorn?
No, that's the time that it takes the moon to that the moon blocks the sun completely. Why?
That's also almost the exact time it takes for Bochum to blow a one goal lead.
Nice. Oh, that's a nice transition. That's funny. Very good analogy. Yeah.
So it was 1-0, right? And then it was 1-1 against FC Köln, FC. Hans Wolf, we got a couple.
I literally thought, and I guess whatever jinxing powers I have, I take responsibility for. I literally thought when they got that corner, I was like, oh, this time the equalizer is not going to come in stoppage time. It's going to come right before stoppage time for a change. And it did. The 1-1 happened like literally 4 seconds before the end of regulation. And then gave up another one. Coach Thomas Letsch got fired.
Whoa, really? Oh, yep. I missed that. Oh yeah.
I don't know what that's. I don't know what the thinking is there. He just got an extension, and there's like six games left. Like, what are they? What's going to happen? What's going to happen now? It's
look at this. By the way, I Google it. The first thing that comes up is the San Francisco Chronicle. Bochum coach fired despite. Oh, the times we live in, where when I Google Bochum coaching news, the San Francisco Chronicle's for it's like we got you. San Francisco Chronicle will give you the news.
Has knows about Bochum. That's nice. That wasn't the case a while ago.
Yeah, it wasn't. Bochum's head coach Thomas Lech enters the stadium prior to the Bundesliga match between Bochum and Darmstadt. Yeah, he is let go. Oh, I didn't see that part. That's crazy. David Riccio, you're probably happy with your... I always forget. Is David Riccio Köln or Mainz? That's goat happy. That looks like goat to me.
It's got to be Köln, yeah.
No,
Zelas is Mainz. David and Hans are Köln brothers, no? Or maybe David is Mainz just...
fan.
Maybe David's just jumping on the bandwagon of beating me when I'm down.
Well, anywho, yeah, 100%. Well, anywho, so Thomas Lech was let go. Who was that? Help me out. Who was your last coach that was fired and went to Schalke? What was the name again?
Thomas Reis.
Thomas Reis. He's available. Is it time for Thomas Reis to come back, maybe? Or?
No.
But the bigger issue, is it the coach? I mean, is it really the coach? I mean, what's going on here? They have the as someone who was a New York Red Bulls fan under Jesse Marsh, we had this thing where we were always up 2-0 by the 80th minute, and every game ended in a 2-2 draw. We only had 80 minutes of energy, and the last 10 minutes was our kiss of death because we were just cooked or something. It's looking like Bochum's having a stoppage time problem.
Yeah, we have. So, we've talked about this previously. I have to do the count again, but I think we've given up 12 points this season in stoppage time. If there was no stoppage time, we would have 12 points more, and we would be, instead of being in 15th place, we would be in 7th place. So
it's pretty cool.
It's not. It's the opposite.
It would have been pretty cool. Hypothetically, what that means is that there's like a slight adjustment there. It's a mentality thing, right? Or maybe it's the physio thing. Maybe they're not calibrating the right amount of effort for the full 90.
I don't have. I mean, we were not very. We're just. Well, there's one explanation. It's that the team is not very good, and
very analytical.
And we definitely were not that good in this entire game. We were definitely pretty fortunate to be up. For as long as we were, so there's that. But like, it's still kind of. I don't even have a lot of analysis. I was just after the game. I was like, we should just voluntarily forfeit the league. It's like, what is the? We're hoping to survive just for another year of more of this nonsense. Now there's going to be another coach. We have one guy who's good in our midfield who's already like during the game they were saying how he's now talking to Union Berlin and Voss. So there's going to be. All the decent players are going to leave. We're going to get another coach. And then even if we survive this by some miracle, even though now it seems quite, it went in these 5 minutes, it went from basically safe for the rest of the year to very much in danger. So I don't have any explanations. I'm just over it. That's how I feel right now.
Well, the margins are very thin. There was a clue to what you said. VfL Bochum just needs one win soon. I'm not saying they're going to get it, but in this Bundesliga, like we saw with Heidenheim, you can't predict scores. I mean, VfL Bochum, they're going to play freaking Bayer Leverkusen next week, and that's where they're going to get their 3 points maybe. Why not? The Bundesliga can offer that. So
well, if you
right
look
now,
at
it's very...
If you looked at our schedule before the season, and you would look at this stretch of six games, and you would say, oh, the only game you're going to win is against Bayern. Like, you could have made a lot of money if you knew that ahead of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Dare to predict the Bundesliga. The Bundesliga is almost as hard as to predict than MLS. MLS is harder, but Bundesliga isn't too shabby. I mean, stuff every weekend I tune in to be like, what's the surprise? And there's usually at least one. But Seba S, I'm eating my words because Mainz and Köln got a couple of points. Bochum's been dropping points. And overall, the Bundesliga table doesn't have much to look at this right now. But there's two main points. And right here, this is the main point. I have it here on the screen for the visuals. 15th, 16th, 17th. And we want to throw 14th in there. Wolfsburg, Bochum, Mainz, Köln. Fighting over that 15th and 16th spot. And Seba S, one of our regulars, is very confident Mainz is going to be 15th, not 16th. Last week, I thought that was optimistic. But now, they're only one game apart. I mean, next weekend I doubt it because there's a five-goal difference. But let's pretend Bochum lost by 2 goals and Mainz won by 3 goals next weekend. Let's pretend. If that happens, then Mainz gets their 15th spot. So it's getting there, pretty close. Hans Wolf, hello all. Good evening. Hello, Hans Wolf.
We're talking about
your Kölner. We're talking about your Kölner boys, some of the Mainz boys. We're talking about the most exciting part of the table. Because the only other part of the table to look at is the Dortmund, Leipzig, Stuttgart fourth place spot.
Yeah, big win. And big win for Stuttgart.
Let's go up there for a minute. So big that Bayern and Stuttgart are now tied on points.
Yeah.
Leverkusen also was 1 week away from maybe clinching the title. It could happen next week, I believe. Next week could happen.
Mm-hmm.
Likely in 2 weeks. I think next week if Leverkusen win and Bayern...
Well, they have 16 points now, so they need...
Yeah, and
six, no, if they win, that's that, and it's done. If they win, it's done.
That's right, because there's only...
Five games left after that, so Bayern can only get to 78 right now. So if Leverkusen gets three more points, that's it.
So Leverkusen are on the brink of clinching their title. Good for them. 29th week. I mean, it's so crazy that the minute one team finds a new team other than Bayern wins the title, they win it with a capital W-I-N. They pull a Bayern. They're like, we'll win it better than you. We'll win it with even more points than you. And then Bayern... Slipping. That's it. They had a loss over Heidenheim over the weekend, and a loss the weekend before that too, didn't they? They slipped 2 weeks in a row, and now Bayern and Stuttgart are tied at 60 points each. Bayern might finish the season third, not even second. And then of course Leipzig and Dortmund tied at points 53 each. Dortmund losing to Stuttgart, but Leipzig getting a good win, and the two of them are dead tied for this fourth.
Yeah, Dortmund now out of the Champions League spots on goal difference. Yep.
And there you go. That's pretty much the table. I mean, the middle of the table is relatively, you know, settled for the most part. Frankfurt maybe are getting into Europe. Augsburg having a good season, but they're still 6 points off Europe. So we'll, you know, it's very optimistic for Augsburg to get into Europe. Hoffenheim safe with Brooks and Pellegrino Matarazzo. Good for him. Freiburg having a middle table season for them. Heidenheim being the little heroes. They got themselves middle point. Union Berlin did pull their butts out of the fire a little bit. You know, it's only 29 points, but Union Berlin is where Bochum wants to be. It's just that one win. Three more points puts them just in a better spot, doesn't it?
Yep.
That looks good. Hans Wolf, smash that like button, folks. Hulk smash, 100%. Thinking of Bjorn during the Bochum Köln matchup. Well, of course. You gotta think of your friends in this
horrible
times like this.
Terrible.
So anyway, it's looking good for Mainz and Köln. What? We got the big Köln Mainz game on April 28th. That is probably the biggest, most exciting clash coming up still in the Bundesliga. Minus a Dortmund Leipzig game. Have they played each other yet?
I think they have.
We got Bayern and Köln. Köln, get those points next weekend. Mainz against Pellegrino Matarazzo next weekend. Dortmund got Gladbach, Leipzig got Wolfsburg. You guys are hosting Heidenheim. I mean, it's possible. You guys can get points against Heidenheim, can't you?
Can't get points against anybody but Bayern lately.
Leverkusen hosting Werder, which is looking like maybe their clinching game, perhaps. Stuttgart, Frankfurt. Moving forward, Dortmund and Leverkusen, but you got to give that one to Leverkusen on April 21st. Then this is the big one.
Unless Leverkusen's just checking out.
This is a big weekend because Mainz and Köln are on the Sunday, but Leipzig and Dortmund are on the Saturday. So April 27th to April 28th, that weekend has huge implications to the two spots still open on the table. Mm-hmm. You got your fourth place sort of title here on Saturday, and you got your 15th place to 16th place title here on Sunday. So mark your calendar. That's the big weekend. And then there you go. And that's how we do. That's how the Bundesliga does.
Champions League is back this week.
That's right.
We have Dortmund playing Atletico, Bayern, and Arsenal tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. I'm just in the chat for a second. Hans Wolf, I shall say Leverkusen is one last time for the season, eternity. At David Riccio Woot. You guys are rooting for Baya? They're doing it. Next week, Leverkusen. You know what the biggest... There's a lot of stuff with Leverkusen. But do you remember... We will go to the Champions League in a second. But there was a time in the early aughts where Michael Ballack was like the king of silver medals. Early to mid-aught. He's got one silver medal after another. 2002 World Cup silver medal. And then the season before that, Bayer Leverkusen lost the league because they lost to Unterhaching. Little Unterhaching. 2-0 the last round. They choked. Bayern München snuck and won the league title. Then Bayer Leverkusen lost to Real Madrid in the Champions League final. And I think they also lost to DFB Pokal that same year. It was just one second place after another. Then off to Chelsea he went to get a couple second places with them. The dude has just an army of silver medals. Michael Ballack, Mr. Silver. And I am glad that the Bayer Leverkusen curse, Leverkusen, is finally being broken. It's exciting times. So I'm just looking at the chat here. And we got them still on a treble because we had DFB Pokal last week. DFB Pokal. We had Little Saarbrücken versus Kaiserslautern. And David Riccio, your Kaiserslautern, did it. They handily defeated Saarbrücken Cinderella Run. And Bayer Leverkusen was not to be challenged. They just steamrolled over the lovely Fortuna Düsseldorf with their... the second division darlings. Now we've got a Kaiserslautern Bayer Leverkusen matchup in the Olympic Stadion in Berlin. And Bjorn, my money is on Bayer Leverkusen.
I think I agree.
You know, we'll see. Maybe Kaiserslautern with young Terrence Boyd will get in there and get an upset. But I'm thinking it's Bayer Leverkusen's year. That, and of course, they're still in the Europa League.
Yeah,
you got AC Milan, true. You got Liverpool still in there, and Bayer Leverkusen. Europa League's exciting. But yes, we got Champions League. We got Bayern versus Arsenal. We got Dortmund versus Atletico. Are those the two German matchups in the...
That's correct.
Those are the guys. How are you feeling about them?
I mean... both tough, you know. I think both possible, but not super confident about either of them.
Yeah, with Bayern München, it's interesting. Domestically, they're very disappointing, but in Europe, they've had a different form. And I have a little theory. Maybe not theory. But people are talking about this Harry Kane curse nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. Where Harry Kane can't win titles. Mm-hmm. And then I went on the Golazo Network, which is a great... ESPN FC and the Golazo Network are great places where you watch people talk for hours on soccer that they do not watch. So it's like, this could be more wrong. One guy's talking about how they're not supplying... The big analysis is they're not supplying Kane enough. And it's like Kane has broken every goal record in German, like in German soccer history. All right, he's scoring plenty. That ain't the issue. And they're talking about Sané being an issue. It's like Sané has been excellent the first half of the season. I just don't like. I think with Bayern Munich, I think they're still up for the Champions League. It's a cup, you know. Arsenal's fun, but I think Bayern Munich can handle Arsenal, man. Historically, Arsenal has been very one-sided to Bayern. I don't believe that's the case anymore.
This Arsenal has Kai Havertz Fußball Gott.
Yeah, but Bayern München has Harry Kane, football guy. You know, Harry Kane hates one club in the world, being a Tottenham super fan. You know what that club is, Bjorn?
He does not. Yeah, it's Arsenal, but he does not have a great record against them.
Well, but now he's coming at them with Bayern. Coming at them with Tottenham is one thing. Coming at them with Bayern is another thing. And, you know, and just because you're slouching in the domestic cup, maybe they're putting all their eggs in the Champions League basket. It's the only title they can win. So Bayern Munich has a luxury where the Champions League is the only tournament that really matters for them right now. Mm-hmm. Where Arsenal are still right in the title chase. You know, they have they had a big game over last weekend. I guess all the big games are big. It was a game against Brighton. When they play Man City, was that 2 weekends ago? Where they had the 0-0
that happened time? 2 weekends ago, yeah. Last weekend, yeah.
But they're still very much with the league in mind. They have a big game between the two. Bayern Munich could lose next week. They really could care. At this point, they could care less. They only have Arsenal on their mind. So, I don't know. I'm feeling pretty okay about the Bayern Munich matchup. The Dortmund-Atletico matchup, less so. I just think Dortmund...
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, maybe. I can see
Dortmund,
that.
Dortmund's fine, but they squeaked by PSV, right? It was like a 1-2-1, right? Wasn't it? When it was a penalty that was
pretty close
for them?
Yeah.
And would I love to have them get some good action against Atletico Madrid? Yes, but where is Atletico Madrid?
For them, they're third. Atletico Madrid... is the easiest opponent. They would have, if they could have picked one in this round, they would have picked them.
True, but Atletico Madrid.
And
would
so
have
that's
the,
yeah, maybe.
Who else would they
but
have won?
This is it's a big opportunity. Is all I'm saying. And so
Atletico Madrid is fourth behind Girona.
Oh, that's right. Girona's still ahead. That's going to change. I'm going to predict that's going to change by the end of the season. They're going to be ahead, but. Anyway,
it's 7 points though. So Girona is 7 points above Atletico Madrid. You know what? Atletico Madrid is looking like the Borussia Dortmund of Spain. So maybe this is more 50-50 than I realized.
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid is teetering fifth place against Athletic Club, 56 and 58 points, where Dortmund and Leipzig are teetering on the same amount in the same spot on the table. So this might be a pretty 50-50 thing. So
I would pick. You know, Dortmund over Bayern in these
to
go through.
Yeah,
I would put more money on that than I would put on Bayern.
I think I am hoping on more what ifs. I was leading on the what ifs pretty hard with that Bayern Arsenal matchup. The paperwork suggests that Arsenal's going to win, right? Where with Borussia Dortmund Atletico, the paperwork suggests that it's very 50-50. So,
I mean, this is when really quarterfinals is when the Champions League becomes must watch entertainment. These games are always strong. These matchups are irresistible. So it's going to be good. And I don't have a huge dog in the fight. I mean, I guess I do find myself rooting for the German teams, of course. But I'm not going to be as upset as I was Saturday. I'm still not over it.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. The other follow-up is Bayer Leverkusen are going to play West Ham on Thursday. That'll be a fun matchup.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham handily beating, was it Freiburg or Frankfurt in the last round?
Freiburg in the second leg. In the first leg, Freiburg got a win, so they were feeling good. But then they got creamed on the reverse, yeah.
Quite the blowout for David Moyes and his boys. Happier with? Moyes don't cry. What would be happier for you, Bjorn, as a German? Kai Havertz scores like a super hat trick with Arsenal and just destroys Bayern München, or Bayern München destroys Arsenal with a Harry Kane hat trick? What's the better outcome as a German supporter?
I mean, I guess if you put it like that, I'm happy to see. I think maybe Kai Havertz is more important to us as a Euro for the upcoming Euros. If he's going to be,
but Harry Kane
if he's going to somehow turn into a Torjäger, Knipser, that would be good. I'm happy to see. I Kai Havertz has surprised me this season. I thought, watching him in preseason, I thought he was not a good fit for that team. I did not see him succeeding, and he has been quite good for them. He has, I mean, Arteta has also, for whatever reason, really decided to give him every opportunity. He was very patient, and now he's being rewarded. He had two assists this weekend, and he's been quite good, and I'm happy to see that. I don't, that's not going to make me root for Arsenal, really, but I think I do. I am happy when Kai Havertz is successful.
Yeah, he's doing better than Timo Werner is at Tottenham Hotspur.
Timo Werner is also doing better than I thought he would at Spurs as well. Actually,
he started off hot, but I mean, he's got 2 goals in 11 games. I think he's cooled down.
Is that what it is? No, he just got one. He just got one. Not this weekend, but the previous week, previous game, I think.
Oh, maybe I'm not falling super hard, but it just says the goals here early March. But anywho. Kai Havertz was not fit in that first half of the season. He worked his butt off and became a key part. So, yeah, good on Kai Havertz really working his butt off and plugging in that team. And that team is, I think, second place. I mean, they're right behind Liverpool, right?
Now, they're still in first. No, they're in first place now.
Oh, really? Above Liverpool?
Yeah, Liverpool dropped some points yesterday.
Overall, I'm still rooting for Klopp and Liverpool to end the season as champions. But if Kai Havertz and Arsenal do it, hey. It's a perfect consolation for me. As long as some German wins in England, that's what we need. That's what we need.
City, it seems Man City has the easiest schedule. So I don't know. You can't count them out either. They're in there.
Are there any Germans in Man City anymore since Gundogan left?
Gundogan's gone. Nope. Pep Guardiola is has some history and Bayern history. I don't know. That doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So
there
the league
I go.
Is winding down. Well, the league's winding down. We got a Champions League spot. We got a fun relegation race. And we still got clubs and cups.
There's
and
no
titles.
No. There's nothing fun about the relegation race. I disagree.
Okay, Bjorn. Would you like the Bundesliga to eliminate promotion relegation? Does that be MLS style?
And grandfather, just... and well, Bochum.
Bochum's just last place every year, but they hang out at the party and they're just there every year.
The best business decision the Bundesliga ever made was to eliminate promotion relegation to keep Bochum in forever.
Yeah, and keep Schalke out forever.
Yes,
yeah. I guess you. Yeah, would be
in favor. I'm in favor of this. Yes, good idea.
So I have. I realized I just came out of spring break from school. There's still a bunch of crap and work to do, but I realize there's so
much.
Did
you go to the beach? Did you take your thong to the beach?
No, I didn't take anything to the beach. I should have gone to the beach. Why did I not go to the beach? I just got to remember myself. I got to remember I live near the beach. Anyway. I have to watch 2 German movies tonight, long ones.
Okay.
One for a private project. And I just watched 30 minutes of it before I came here. The movie I have to watch is a little fun post-German soccer quiz for you. The movie that I have decided to watch features a soccer player from the 1974 German World Cup winning team.
Okay. Paul Breitner?
Yes. Okay, quiz. This was a quick quiz for you. Paul Breitner's in this movie. Do you know what the movie's called?
Oh, is it a Western?
Yeah. What's it called? It has four titles. It has four titles that I found. I'll take any of them.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but
I'll take any of them.
I don't know that I could come up with that, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
It stars an actor who won Best Actor at Cannes. He was a big German star in the 60s. Do you remember? I figure you'd know who he is. Hardy.
Eberhard. Oh, Hardy Flitch.
Nah, his name's Hardy Kruger. Is his name.
Hardy Kruger. That's what I meant.
Right. Hardy Kruger is featuring Paul Breitner. Now, I did this because I heard about this movie back when I was studying Paul Breitner or whatever. It has 4 titles. The German title is Potato Fritz.
Oh, really?
Have you ever heard that one?
Never. No.
The American title is called Montana Trap. I found it on YouTube, and on YouTube it was called Der Toten und der Zweifel, I think. The Dead and the Devil, or something like that. And then I Googled it again. There's a fourth title it's also known as. It has four titles. It's one of those movies that they filmed and they just sold it wherever they could. The video distributors got their hands on it. Different theaters got their hands on it.
I have pictures of it in my head. I couldn't have recalled any of those names.
But get this. So I found a copy of it on YouTube. Again, I had two titles of it. It was under a different title. And the very first clip of the YouTube is Hardy Krueger Best Winner for Your Consideration Cannes Film Festival.
Mm.
So the thing I found on YouTube was a work print they submitted to Cannes, the Cannes Film Festival.
Oh, wow.
So it's like an early print.
So you're really digging into this. This is not just a casual watch.
No, and I'm also pulling stuff out of my butt because I have to do a presentation and I'm going to spill out to the wider world of German culture because I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to go to Karl May Fest every year and it was a big deal.
Oh, don't get me started on that. Okay, yeah.
Well, I was going to say we went to Winnetou and we watch Winnetou every year. And who here in the chat knows who Winnetou is? Just a little German culture quiz for you guys. Winnetou, king of the Apache, right? Something like that. And when I was a kid, I used to go to Karl May Fest. They would sell guns. There was this Western. There was a live bear on stage, live fire on stage, and afterwards a big laser show. It was such a cool event.
It was like it was open air theater, like on a giant yep. stage with horses and animals, and you would boo the bad guys even when it came time to clap for people.
Yeah, it was amazing. And afterwards, you clap for Winnetou. And then as an adult, someone asked me, why were you watching cowboy and Indian stuff in Germany? And I was like, oh, yeah, why was I watching cowboy and Indian culture is so inherited in German culture. But Bjorn, you could talk about that. But it's not German culture. Not really. It's just something they borrowed.
Well, it's not. But it is very, it is a big part. And it is, I guess, it's not historically accurate. Like a lot of this, you know, and this is a German author. There was a whole series of, this was a big part of my childhood too. A series of movies and also went to the live shows a couple times. And there's adults who do this kind of thing. They go on these conventions and they sit in their teepees and they get dressed up and, yeah, I don't know. I mean, this definitely does not jive with our current sensibilities about cultural appropriation it's like it's blackface adjacent, really. Like,
I have to admit that I later in my young acting career would do a very similar show and I had to play a Native American and I had to paint my face head to toe in red makeup.
Yeah. I mean,
surfaces I got canceled.
That's what people did, and probably still do in certain.
In defense of Potato Fritz, though, at the very beginning of the
this
movie,
this is not part of this universe, though. It's a different.
No, it's just German Westerns. I'm just general connection because I want to ask you a question in a second.
Uh-huh.
But in defense of Potato Fritz or Montana Trap or whatever the heck,
the Toten Teufel.
What? The Toten Teufel. There's also like I think four or five other titles, but the Native Americans at the beginning of the movie are clearly white people. However, that's part of the plot, so they were supposed to be.
White people. So a little defense on them.
That doesn't defend Winnetou, but here we go, Bjorn. Is it too much for me to make the assumption? Because you know what's really really big in Japan is Ernest Hemingway. They love Ernest Hemingway in Japan. He's huge in Japan.
Okay.
And Westerns being huge in Germany, do you feel that is a response to World War II Germany? I hate to always bring it back to the war, but do you feel that there is like an escapist response to that of like renewal, the new world? You know, there's no government, you're off doing your own thing, like being the Wild West, you know? Do you think it's a direct response to post-war Germany? Or do you think it's just sort of, I'm reading too much into it?
I would struggle to really make that connection because this is like a 70s thing, right? I don't know.
Well, my dad was from the 50s. It was big. He read the Karl May stuff when he was a kid and all that stuff. Karl May was a famous author.
Maybe these movies are older than I thought. Okay. I mean,
the movie
I'm
watching is from the 70s. You're right. But I'm talking about in general, the whole culture of, let me Google right now when the Karl May Fest started.
I think, I mean, I think it's just, it's like, I don't know if it's, if I would bring it back to World War II. I think there's just something about, you know, the dullness of like, I think there's a subculture in Germany where people just enjoy exotic worlds, like different worlds from, because Germany is a very homogenous country. You can go from north to south, and there's obviously there's some regional differences, et cetera, but it's all in terms of climate, landscape, weather. It's a pretty cohesive kind of place. And some people, you know, like to set their sights beyond that. And I think then, you know, I think traveling, tourism, Germans like to go all over the place. So there is, and.
But you must admit, by the way, I looked up the year. The year started in 1952.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a long time ago. And I agree
so
with you.
Right
but
after,
like, it's
right
really,
after World War II, maybe. You, yeah,
but like, would you say that there's any other parts of the world that explore as much as the American Wild West?
Oh, Germans? Well, yeah, the Canary Islands of Spain. Yeah, I mean, like, sure. but I mean, that's also to a point, like a version of that is a worldwide phenomenon. I think Westerns, that was also a big thing. I guess that's just an appealing sort of genre, especially for like younger people. It's very like, it's exciting. It's easy to kind of digest. I don't.
True.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't have a good answer.
No, I need to hear this from you because I could draw my own conclusions, but also maybe I'm whistling Dixie here.
So, but what is your, what exactly, I mean, of course, obviously there's some, people are looking for fun and they're probably looking for an escape in post-World War II. I think that's for sure true.
My abstract is that the obsession with the Wild West from Germany, it wasn't just Germans, obviously it was a big European thing. Mainly from because they filmed it was the spaghetti westerns, right? The Italians made them all. It was filmed in Spain. Mm-hmm. They had actors from all three countries, and they did this weird thing where they had to record you in your native dialogue and then repost it all. You know, but I mean, the Brits weren't super involved in that. That was more they were isolationists. That was more of a continental thing. Maybe I'm talking out of school with that.
No, I think
but
that's
like,
true.
My thing is the escapism of the Wild West. Similar, I watched Sissy last week. Sissy's a Heimat film, and Sissy's mm-hmm. about. Sissy is about the Empress of Austria marrying Franz Josef, and she was like a tomboy, and the whole movie was about bright colors and out in the country with her beautiful old there's no guns, there's no soldiers around, you know, and it's about locality, it's not about a national identity, it's about mm-hmm. a local identity, you know, and that was very much a rebound from right after the war to be like, remember the 1800s? Let's remember the 1800s. Like trying to like forget about essentially the whole first half of the 1900s.
Sure, that and, for sure. Mm-hmm. And just
the
really
West,
reclaiming the good parts of
German culture,
German culture, right?
Or like the warmness of it. And I uh-huh. think Wild West, a lot of ways where it's like, look at this, the Germans were there. It's just you can do whatever you want. Build a teepee. They're fun. They're exotic. Build a house. It's like there's no laws. It's just a fun, simple time out in the Wild West, a time of renewal to human norms, you know.
A different frontier. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
It's not just in Germany. Like in Italy, they make entire movies there. Like, so it's not a, I mean, I would file this under like Germans are into weird stuff sometimes. Like why is David Hasselhoff's musical career so big in Germany? Like there's no can't
don't
really
smear that. Don't smear his name.
You can speculate, but you can't really explain it.
Yeah, don't smear the Hoff's name in my presence, okay?
You're a fan of his music?
I'm a huge fan of his music. I've never heard one of his
songs. What's your favorite album?
My favorite album is Hey There, It's Baywatch Time. I'm filming Baywatch, it's a Baywatch time. Now you remember that commercial he did before the 20, I think it was the 2014 or the 2018 World Cup? He did this fun commercial where like he was rooting for the Germans. So, like, who are you rooting for? He's like, who do you think? Deutschland or whatever.
That's right. Yeah. Let's go.
Respect to the
what
Hof.
Is
respect
your him. What do you love about the Hof?
Oh, just, you know, his confidence. I don't know. I love the fact that he's big. I love the fact that he's an obscure TV star. I just love how German culture loves American culture. I remember
when David Hasselhoff and Harrison Ford were both guests on this German Saturday Night Variety show. And it was like Harrison Ford came out and there was polite applause and he was interviewed. And then David Hasselhoff came and the place just right. went completely berserk. And there was a cutaway to Harrison Ford and he looked like, what happened? Am I in a parallel universe? What is going on?
He was 100% a parallel. Harrison Ford, him and Samuel L. Jackson keep beating each other for the highest grossing Hollywood actor of all time. Like they've made billions of dollars. But in nobody cares in Germany,
they would rather hear David Hasselhoff Knight Rider. Sing.
It's Knight Rider territory in Germany.
they would prefer to have David Hasselhoff sing over watching Harrison Ford act.
I would much rather watch a Bayern München game and it cuts to David Hasselhoff all over and over again as opposed to Uli Hoeneß over and over again. So I guess the last topic of German Fußball, because I want to ring it back, is the big Bayern coach talk, right? There's a list. Roberto De Zerbi is pretty high up there. Ralf Rangnick is high up there. I'm bringing back Julian Nagelsmann seems to be a thing.
What?
I don't know. Yeah, you didn't hear that? That's a real possibility.
That's
after
insane.
The Euros, I mean, although someone on a different podcast brought this up, and I think it's the most sane answer. He might be a little raw, but I think outside of Xabi Alonso, a very good candidate to be coach would be Sebastian Hoeneß, the Stuttgart coach.
Oh, well.
Really, Hoeneß's nephew. Nepotism supreme.
Nepotism. I mean, yeah, it's gang und gäbe, as we say in German. That's par for the course. But
he needs a little more time in Stuttgart. I think he's a little raw right now. That would be my one thing. Maybe let Stuttgart give him another season or two. Maybe let him win a title.
I would feel the same about him as I would about Xabi Alonso. If he was just going to drop everything to take the Bayern job, I would respect him 25% less.
Who's the next Bochum coach going to be, do you think?
Well, they tried to get Peter Stöger, former
Köln coach,
who is now deep in Austria. And he, I guess, was interested, but it was sort of short notice and he couldn't get out of his contract. So he's not doing it. So they're looking. It's
can
not gonna
I recommend?
Any, not going to be any recommend, of those guys that you mentioned for Bayern.
No, I got a new guy. He's also deep in Austria. He's a big star. His name is
Gerhard Struber.
Maybe can I give you Gerhard Struber?
I wish I could laugh that off and say that's absurd. That couldn't happen. It could happen.
It definitely happens. Leading the Austrian. I was like, Ronnie Dyla could happen, right? Isn't he in between jobs?
Ronnie Dyla's available. That'd be wild. That'd be worlds colliding.
Yeah, merge your
that
worlds.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy.
Okay, do you have anything else with Deutschland and Bundesliga? Any German cultural things or anything? The other movie I have to watch, by the way, is Das Boot. And I have to watch the 3-hour director's cut.
Well,
I'm also doing tonight.
There's a whole TV series that's even longer than that.
Yeah, isn't that modern? It's like new, isn't it? Don't they have a new
one? No.
One?
Herbert Grönemeyer is in Das Boot.
The guy who wrote the Bochum
singer.
Music?
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen it.
It's good. I predict it's going to be significantly better than the
Potato Fritz.
Das Tote und der Teufel.
Well, I don't know. Das Tote was a lot of fun. We'll see. But I have a lot of freaking watching to do tonight. A lot of German things. So I want to bring it
all
up.
All right. Well, let's speed it up then. Let's get you to work.
All right. But first things first, we got to hop into the U.S. culture a little bit. There's been some proud moments.
My life is only marginally better in MLS.
Hey, sometimes you get your marginal wins. You know what I'm talking about? All right, everybody. Oh, yeah, this is on me. Give me a quick second. We're saying bye-bye to Deutschland. It's looking good for Mainz and Köln, though. Good on you, boys.
Wonderful. Yeah, so happy for you.
Let me do this so it doesn't get in your butt here. Here we go. How's that? There we go. Bye, everyone. Okay. Tschüss, bis nächste Woche, or else in USA Hour. Tschüss.